The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 19th of October, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And today joining me in studio is Mr. Cecil Newry to talk about what's in the news. Yesterday, I had a bit of a wild show, so I brought somebody to help moderate me this morning. Mr. Newry, I know we was going to start with A, but let's start with B. You see those guests that came out of the studio when we were going into the studio? I have a problem. I'm going to call customs.
Yes.
I'm going to call customs or immigration or something on them. Because how you could come to the home of Fevergrass?
The home of Fevergrass.
The Fevergrass kingdom.
The capital.
To come sell me some lemongrass infusion.
Something wrong.
I mean, something right. But what's wrong is that I don't have any right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to drink before the sun goes down. I think that should be a rule for all Bahamians except for tourists.
They could drink anytime.
They could drink anytime.
Okay.
Right. Especially when they...
I'm just happy they came bearing gifts. Usually they come swinging empty-handed.
No, you just come late.
That's what it is?
Yeah. Your timing is off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my bad. I should have told you, but I didn't tell you.
No, I'm 11 o'clock and you're 10 o'clock, so you're able to get things.
I mean, except I'm not allowed to drink before the sun goes down, yeah. So we're on an even keel.
Yeah.
But I'm always excited to see products like that, right? Because it shows, it gives you an insight, a snapshot of what is possible and what we could be doing here. I mean, I make a similar product. I don't want to talk about how fantabulous it is,
it
right?
It is awesome. I tasted it.
Yeah, man, it's off the chain. But it's just a small thing. And we could be using the resources we have available to us to create economies, create industries, and there's just so much available to us. Hmm. We just start with the almond tree. The almond tree, there's just multiple parts to be used, to be consumed, to add value to resell. Hmm. The flesh of the fruit, the nut inside the seed, the leaf itself, there's just so much we could be doing with it, right? And then it plays it has a very important role in our culture. What I found is when you go to the Southern Islands, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the Southern Islands, they use almond extract in their lemonades.
Really?
And their drinks to smooth it out, right? And
that's nice.
It's very nice. And it's different, and I think it's unique. And even if you find it over the archipelago, I'm from that space, you know, from the Southern Islands and in the diaspora across the archipelago. I just absolutely love it. And so I have decided, Mr. Newry, that since we are making people ambassadors again,
yes,
I want to be the ambassador to Mayaguana.
Why so far?
Well, but it's on another plate. It's like in another ecological environment. It's very, very far. I know you was cracking joke on me. It's very, very far. So when the sea levels rise, they say that Mayaguana is going to rise with it.
Really?
Yeah. Like Mayaguana is going to be the island that is not impacted as much as the other islands with sea level. So, right, so there's Cat Island, I think there's North Andres, and there's Mayaguana.
And they're on a different plate.
Well, no, those are the most viable land masses for when sea levels rise.
Okay.
And so I want to be...
On the top one.
The ambassador of Mayaguana, especially since Alfred Rea to compete anymore. On that note...
I'm impressed. I mean, everybody get an ambassadorship, so... I see it's possible.
For me or for you?
No, but for you. I mean, I can make a phone call.
Don't call.
You don't want this job then.
I mean, I want it, but who you can call?
I know people.
Yeah, but you only know PLPs. That ain't work. Somebody already campaigning for that job.
Yeah.
Right now, but in today's paper, did it make today's paper? Yes, it did. And the Guardian, the bottom of the fold. Ambassadors sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
Six new diplomats were sworn in during a ceremony at Bahama yesterday. I thought we were finished swearing in ambassadors.
I thought we had all the ambassadors we needed already.
I am quite surprised at the six.
No, I have no problem with the six. I like the six.
Oh, I'm surprised that there were six more.
Mind you, I know their names were circled around before, but I thought they were all named ready. So I was shocked to see that they weren't named.
Oh, you thought this process had already
finish and go right. About? Yeah, yeah. So I think there's maybe another five or six more lurking out there that we got a name again.
More. I got to put my name in on the list.
Let me make that phone call.
If you haven't read the story yet, here are the individuals who have been chosen and appointed in the Foreign Service. We start with former Cabinet Minister Alfred Gray, who has been appointed High Commissioner to Canada.
That's a big post.
I'm hoping that he's been selected to deal specifically with cannabis trade and cannabis industry. Otherwise, High Commissioner to Canada.
Cute.
I'm hoping that's what they do.
Yeah, cute.
Former Senator and regulatory compliance expert Cheryl Bazard is the Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary to the Kingdom of Belgium.
I like that.
Yeah. I think this is a very important post.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is about communications with the European Union.
Yes, that's a lot of possibilities there.
Yeah.
And I think she's very competent and could do well there.
Absolutely. In the advocacy world, what you learn in the advocacy world is the compliance processes attached to EU grants
mm-hmm.
is so rigorous that you need two officers in your organization to focus solely on compliance, ensuring that you're reporting your procedures and you're reporting aligned with the EU requirements. So you take it up to the macrocosm. It's a very important position. And
it's good to see a woman amongst the named ambassadors. It's, you know, at one point in time, I was a little concerned that all these men were being named.
Absolutely. Next on the list is former Senate President Lady Sharon Wilson, and she is the ambassador to the United Mexican States.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is good.
She's competent too. She could do the job.
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I assume this is about trade. And Mexico has a huge agricultural industry. And so hopefully, she's going there to negotiate some trade and get some better prices on some things.
Mm-hmm. And to engage models, policies, and practices that may be best, you know, that may be suited for the Bahamian environment.
Mm-hmm.
Next on the list is CFAL, CFAL, the ambassador to New Zealand.
Is this non-residential? I didn't see him moving. You know,
he's
quite established in the Bahamas.
Right. Well, I imagine that the Kingdom of Belgium position would be residential, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you need a presence. In Belgium and in the EU space. New Zealand is very, very far away.
Yes.
And I can't imagine any Bahamians wanting to go wait. I mean, plenty of Bahamians want to go see the world.
Yeah.
You know, but that's far.
You can't say coming home next week.
Yeah.
No.
You got to plan a year and a half out to come to Junkanoo.
Yes.
It's a massive commitment to make,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's a residential position. Actor and businessman Cedric Scott is the ambassador to Japan.
Interesting.
On a side note, I didn't know about Cedric Scott.
Hmm?
He'd been in all kind of movie. And I mean, I know about him because as soon as I saw him, I said, I know this guy.
I know this guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's in Jaws,
yeah.
Which is appropriate because he's from the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah.
King of the Sharks. Former police commissioner Paul Roll is the ambassador to the International Maritime Organization to the Foreign Service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was announced earlier when he retired, eh?
I think so.
Yeah.
So this is the official appointment. I think that's an extremely important position as well.
Yes.
Largest archipelago in the...
I think the third largest ship registry
in the world.
In the world, yeah.
This is very important. And we can see, like, we take a look at what industry looks like, right? Mm-hmm. We can see the LBJ Maritime Academy, right?
Expanded and growing and, yeah, and step stool.
A foundational part of the industry. So this is an interesting list. Mm-hmm. I do have some questions. And we got some text here.
Yeah, I want to ask you, what is the standard, the need for ambassadors? Mm-hmm. I assume that we are trying to expand our horizons and start some networking and make sure that there's a Bahamian presence. But shouldn't there be like a grading point to say, well, yes, we have been successful. And the reason why we appoint this person is because of that, and here are the check marks, and we have accomplished these things. I think there should be some system of saying that, yes, we're being successful, or no, we failed at this thing.
Are we achieving the return on investment?
Yeah,
because these are heavy investments.
These are millions of dollars we're spending. Yeah. We're investing in these people, because especially...
Hold on, wait, they're not doing this for free?
No.
But what's the point of hiring?
We got to pay Sharon Wilson.
Mr. Wilson have to pay Sharon Wilson.
No.
They don't want to liberate the place. Mr. Wilson has to pay Sharon Wilson.
No. You got to pay cousin Sharon Wilson. She working hard.
She's your cousin, I'm willing to consider it, right?
Yeah.
But surely you pick people of prominence because they don't need that type of support.
No, man, you don't have people working for free.
We can pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
We can pay your board, right? The room and the board. We can buy your grocery. We can have fancy events. We can buy some grocery. We can have fancy events. So the office fridge will always be stocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could stock your own home fridge. You could afford to fly home. We pay for the meetings. Right, but like...
No paycheck.
No,
no physical money in your pocket.
I'm just saying, I just thought that was the reason why you appointed prominent people who are successful in their field and not fly by night or flash in sustainable success in the field that they're in.
Well, we definitely selected some millionaires for ambassadors. Over this administration, some really good, successful people who have some change in their pocket.
Yeah.
So I mean, I could appreciate what you're saying, but I assume that they're being paid.
Okay, but not a lot, right? Like just a little bit.
But do you think that we should know how much they're being paid?
I absolutely.
I don't know. No one has announced that this is how much each ambassador will be paid for the next umpteenth years or 5 years, whatever it is.
Right now, I feel like we really need to know. I get a sneaky suspicion that if I get the position, that I can change my mind,
mm-hmm,
and suggest that nobody should be privy to my personal information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it
even though you work for government, the public purse.
Appointed by government.
Yeah.
I'm working for the people who are actually paying me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people's treasury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not to diminish the qualifications of the people.
No, but all of them qualified.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a great list. And again, I would like to be, if I cannot get the ambassadorship to the International Federation of Esports.
Mm-hmm. Esports.
Yeah, that's like playing video games.
I understand.
I want ambassadorship. What they call it? Extraordinary and plenipotentiary. I want that one. Tameyaguana.
Tameyaguana.
Absolutely.
That's a big position.
I mean, by from Auckland's.
Yeah.
They should. I mean, I doubt they rate me, but they should rate me.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who won't go to Auckland's and claim all of my Kyle and start campaigning early.
Granite like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Let's get to some texts here. Good morning. There are too many advertisements on the streets blocking drivers' views. Needs urgent attention. I was not able to see to get on the main road. You're absolutely right. There are a combination of units and government offices supposed to make these determinations. That's why you can't just put up your billboard anywhere, right? Urban planning would have made a determination of whether there is any space that can be used for billboards in an area. Still, before you put the billboard up, I think you got to go to Public Works and they have to come out and assess the site. I think road traffic or the traffic department at RBPF, they have to come out and inspect the site as well. This is a very important note. Another text. Now, Mr. Newry, can you confirm, is Ms. Bazard, Cheryl Bazard's brother, the ambassador to New York?
I don't know.
And I asked the question because...
There's no ambassador to New York, eh?
No, isn't Wendell Jones. He's extraordinary and plenipotentiary to the whole U.S.
Yes.
So we assume it's him. Anyway, dear texter, I read the text because not everybody... know the sip, you know.
No.
There's sort of this presumption that everybody is aware and nobody is doing anything or that there's something that needs to be done, right? That's another point. I don't know if even something needs to be done. But you got to be clearer than that. Another text. Morning, Aaron. The Wilson Post, if it's for trade reasons, I hope it's for the Bahamas' trading and not like the Bahamas, the Commonwealth, and not special interests trading. Another text, just like Sabaz having all these strategic posts, are they for him or the country?
I believe Mr. Bastian is very competent, and he has positioned himself to be considered. And now each government is realizing that, hey, he can represent the country well.
That we can benefit from what it is he has,
yes,
has gathered and brings to whatever table he sits at,
and
right?
And plus, he don't need no money.
Right. But that you
he
know...
He could travel for free.
This is what I'm saying. But that leads us to another question. Are there rules, or there must be rules, where can we find the rules for conduct of the diplomatic service for ambassadors and consular generals, mm-hmm, and to a less extent, embassy staff, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what are the rules? What are the requirements? Are there restrictions for trade? So, hey, if I'm the ambassador for trade in this region, does that mean that I and my close relatives are restricted from doing business in that region? Or is it just business specifically related to...
Interesting. So you're saying that if I am the ambassador to music, right?
Uh-huh.
The government cannot give me any music contract because I actually am a guitar player?
Not just that, because you already have one government job. Not just that.
So if I... Let me set you up. So if I'm a painter, so per se, or a drawer...
Yeah,
an artist. You're saying that because I'm an ambassador to drawing,
yeah,
I cannot get a government contract to draw portraits
at a government event?
No?
Yeah. Or at an event, right? At a government event.
Yeah.
And if you are a diplomat, if you're an ambassador, you shouldn't be working any public event of that nature. Now, I don't know if that's the rules. I just think that's bad form, right?
Mm.
Like, imagine Aaron Green is appointed ambassador to Mayor Gwana,
mm-hmm,
and then on a Saturday at the Culture Fest, I in the road talking about Perfect for Church and prayer meeting in Parliament.
Yeah.
It's a little off color, you know?
Yeah.
The question is, not only can you get a contract from your government that made the appointment, but should you be allowed to generate revenue or income from any transactions in the region where you have been appointed?
Interesting.
And then does that apply to those people? You know, like the Guardian has a contest. They say, listen, the employees of the Guardian and their relatives are not allowed to compete in this contest.
Mm-hmm.
Do we say that, hey, now your family members are politically exposed individuals and they too can no longer whatever it is they do in this region, A, or in this region, if it specifically applies to... what it is you're overseeing?
I mean, you ask some interesting questions. I mean, some things just flooded my mind. I find it odd to see people promoting themselves as ambassadors and still doing business as usual, you know?
Right, and this can become problematic.
Mm.
And so the question of the Honorable Sabaz Bastian. But Cecil, let's stick a pin right there.
Yeah, man.
I got a couple more texts and I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Miss Green.
How you doing?
Good morning.
First time listening, what brought to my memory was the fact that the person mentioned not being able to see because of the signage on the street signage that persons have up.
Yes, ma'am.
When last did you ride through the Kennedy sub area?
Months and, you know, like 4 years.
Okay, well, we're still in high campaign mode. Our polls and stuff through Kennedy sub where the Speaker of the House is, that's our constituency, is yellow and green.
Ma'am, would you like to make some money? You know there's a fine attached to every poster or sign that has been left up after the prescribed time post an election?
All right, I want the money.
Well, here's what you have to do. It's a little crooked. But what you got to do is you got to take a picture of every sign, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you got to call your MP and say, listen, you want to get fined for these or you want to pay me to fine somebody them to take them down?
Ooh, yay. I like the business. It sounds like something I would do.
But listen, and especially if you could find some young men that need something to do right now, right?
Uh-huh.
It would be a great initiative. And you'd say to the MP, listen, let's work this out. Get your team, hire these young men, let's get into this community, and let's get these flyers down before Aaron Green alerts the authorities to your misstep.
And that brings me to my second point.
Yes, ma'am.
How is it that you haven't gotten an ambassador?
Nothing.
Because I think you're an ambassador. I mean, all the other media persons are getting ambassadorship teams.
No, ma'am. I don't like to wear a skirt or dress.
That could be a problem.
You
need to wear a dress.
Or heels.
I ain't much for dress either, even though we may not be riding the same jet boat, but I don't much for dress either. I think dress is too girly.
I'll wear them, you know, but it's like...
I think Mr. Nuri could do one too, but Mr. Nuri don't like to take sides, man. Mr. Nuri always says, well, you see, we got to give them the benefit of a doubt. I want to tie you up and choke you one time. You get my point?
Yes, ma'am.
I think you need an ambassadorship or counselorship or some ship somewhere. Meg one would be good, but I think they should give you the ambassadorship of Porkin or something.
Listen, Rowan, I like, or I want the ambassadorship to Middle Andres, Kingdom of the Chickchanis.
Listen, that's my hometown. Middle Andres, I'll get the one for that.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, ma'am.
I was going to tell the caller, make sure she have a voter's card ready just in case something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always need it.
Our constituency, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but always. Anyway.
Some interesting questions arise. Questions that should not have to arise. Questions that we should all be aware of because this information should be disseminated clearly.
Yes.
And I'm going to be honest, you know, people in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs saying right now, but Aaron, you could have looked it up. You could have tried. I was busy looking something else up last night, Mr. Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing for us to talk about. It's not the Cable Bahamas price increase, although we should talk about that a little bit, right?
Uh-huh.
Because I don't hear IRCA talking. Maybe we should fill the gap. But yesterday I got a text about the new policy or policy regime for the local commercial driver's license. And the texter was upset and concerned. I think their concern was that, I think they called the whole thing sort of, the language was bogus, but I think the concerns were, why are people who have been driving for years and some for decades now required to get a commercial driver's license to work in the same job? Another concern, I think, was that the process was bogus, and another concern was that the fees are too high. The fees associated with attaining the license is too high. And so I wanted to touch on that for a moment.
Yeah, man.
Producer, I realize we haven't been to a break in a moment. Let me read these couple texts and let's go to a break. The first text, good morning, on the clock, Green and Nuri. When Watson was on his show, he could say what he want because of free. But now he is the press secretary. He should report the truth, facts, and what interview he has to say. I wanted to talk about that as well. Texter, are you telling me that you don't believe his apology, that he was unaware? You believe that he intentionally said what he said? Let me know. Texter, text us back. Another text, yay. Very competent ambassador to the Marijuana growing epicenter of the world. Don't sleep on these people pushing their payoff agenda. That was me, Texter. That was just me. Not being snarky. Oh, but her brother is Mr. Leroy Major, who's been appointed in Washington or New York. I just believe there are others
who are
also qualified people out of one family. Come on. Thank you, Texter. I didn't think you were being snarky. I just wanted you to know that I didn't know.
I didn't know either.
Right?
So he's saying that they are related, they're brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I think that was his, yeah, that's a brother.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so I say, in small island developing states, we must have mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because very rarely will we be able to avoid conflicts of interest.
Hmm.
Okay, that's the music. We're going to a break. And when we come back from the break, Cecil, I need you to teach me how to drive so I can get this commercial driver's license.
Yes.
We'll be back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back. Join us on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center, where leading professionals will give you the hard facts on topics like
how to be rich, mental health impact financial health, and what I wish women knew about men,
and how to get their money. This free, life-changing event is for women and men. The seminar includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begins at 8 a.m., with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomenplus.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation. And it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
Well, we can make that happen.
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Mr. Cecil Newry is sitting in with me today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Since we're talking about appointees, just for a second, we was talking about that in the break, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say that I noticed that a lot of government appointees, like people who have been hired to work with government, like on a contractual basis, they talking about things, but they're talking about things that are not in their purview at all. Or if they are, it's like they don't know what side of the bench they sit on. And I just wondered, how could I get one of those jobs? How could I get paid to do a job and then just do something else publicly, very loudly, with no oversight, and still get paid and don't get fired?
Hmm.
That's the civil service, hey?
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, Mrs. Green would never tell me where they keep the applications
no.
for the civil service. I would like one of those.
If she really wanted you to get there, she's going to hook you up.
I have a feeling that that's what they do. I have a feeling. Dear Texter, I ain't miss you. Texter said, I can confirm, unless he resigned or was fired yesterday, that is her brother.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so it leads to the question, should that have been declared?
At least be declared that we know, oh, you know, their family.
Yeah.
Or announcement that you join your brother or something, your sibling. Yeah. as first, because it could be your first time in history, so it's something to be recognized and appreciated and celebrated.
Yeah.
And now it's more of a cloak and dagger thing,
right,
instead
right.
of something that should have been celebrated.
Because I want to know, like, y'all could share a hotel room?
Yeah.
Like when you're traveling in the layover.
Yeah.
You know, right? Like y'all don't mind being seated together in the jam up seat, right?
Yeah.
That's why we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's a potential for the building of an empire, a legacy, you know, strong together. Anyway, that's a movie I was thinking about.
I see.
Okay, so the commercial driver's license. Yesterday I had a texter call, very upset and concerned about, I guess, the lack of transparency or the lack of public consultation or the entire process around the implementation of the commercial driver's license. And so it's a new regulation. It will come into force in January 2023. Now, in my research, what I found was a ZNS news clip from December 5th, 2021, announcing these changes. So that's a year plus. But by January 2023, that will be a year plus. The drivers have had an opportunity to prepare to get the license or to lobby the stakeholders and the decision makers, right, around concerns they have about the process. So the person, like I said, the person called and said that the thing is bogus and the fees are too high. So, right, the commercial driver's license. There are three classes of the commercial driver's licenses. Class A, there's Class B, and there's Class C. Class A is combination vehicles, so that's like your largest vehicle, which is plus 26,000 pounds, and you would be towing a vehicle that's a trailer or something that is 10,000 plus pounds, right? And they call that the gross vehicle weight rating. So you have Class A, which allows you to drive, I think, like the largest vehicles plus tow a very a trailer or device 10,000 pounds plus. The Class B license is called straight vehicle license, and it's a single vehicle that's 26,000 pounds plus, or it's that vehicle used to tow something that is less than 10,000 pounds, right? And the Class C license is called small vehicle license, and that is for a gross vehicle weight rating of 10,000 pounds and less than 26,000 pounds. You can tow in, you can have a combination tow of between 10,000 pounds and 26,000 pounds, or it's a passenger vehicle. And 10 people are in the vehicle, including the driver, right? So up to 10, that's the minimum limit to qualify for the, to need that small vehicle license, right? So there are these three licenses and the fees attached. The Class A license has a $75 fee attached. The Class B license has a $50 fee attached. And the Class C license has a $50 fee attached. So it can't be the fee, like the cost of the certification, that is the problem, because $75, $50, and $50 a year can't be the problem. Now, however, within each class, there is this thing called the vehicle, the license endorsement type, right? So you could get a license to drive any of those size vehicles, but then you still got to get an endorsement qualification, and there are five different types. So you may need an endorsement to transport hazardous materials, right? You would need an first one, hazardous materials, is H. The second one, N, is operating a tank vehicle. And I still have to confirm what a tank vehicle is. P is transporting passengers, S is school bus, and X is combination hazardous materials plus tank vehicle. So you got the three different classes, which are about sizes, right, and weight. And then you have the five endorsement types. I think this, so to all of those that are saying, why is the certification necessary? The sort of requirements show you why it's necessary, right? The people who are driving your school buses, you need to guarantee that they are trained and they understand their training. Whether you care about Bahamians or not, you're in a tourist industry. And the people who are transporting your tourists need to be trained and not telling tourists to turn right on red.
I see where you're going there.
Hazardous materials, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is gas, I think gas and fuel are hazardous materials.
Yes.
You need to know how to stop your big tanker at the red light and the stop sign.
At the line.
You're going to need to know how to do that, mm-hmm. right? And so the question then is, what's the problem? If it's not the fee for the license, is it that each endorsement type has a separate fee attached for the class, right? For the training class, mm-hmm. and then for the certification. Is there a additional fee when I get my license, my Class A license? Is there an additional fee for the endorsements? More money for each endorsement in the training portion, but when it comes to the testing and certification process, mm-hmm. is that also another fee? So I could understand that if I go there with my $50 in my pocket mm-hmm. and maybe $25 for lunch for me and whoever, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get there and I find out I wanted to get five endorsements and I'm going to need $250 for each endorsement,
mm-hmm.
you know, or $50 for each endorsement. These things are important to know. So then, the one thing that I haven't been able to really focus on in the research is who is offering the certification.
Interesting.
Right?
I assume it's government.
I assume it's government too, but I haven't seen any indicators that the government offers the class on the website where the information is. But I have seen links for local businesses that offer the certification. So is the question that the classes, right? So not the actual certification process where you go in and you do a test. The classes themselves, that part is exorbitant, that the fees are exorbitant. Are they inflated? Are they overpriced? Should this be considered an essential service and thus there should be a sort of commensurate reduction in rate for those that are taking it? So that's another question that needs to be answered. Now, in the U.S., independent contractors pay for their own licensing. But I imagine if you work for a company, that company should pay for your licensing and certification, right? The classes and the actual license that the company you work for should pay for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are another couple of questions. If the company I work for pays for the certification and I get fired by them, can I keep my independent, you know, can I keep my certification as an independent contractor? Or does it not matter because I have to renew this license every year and the training, I have to go through a portion of training every year anyway? Another important question is, are the companies offering the training, offering a certification from the U.S. CDL program?
Mm.
Like, is this the actual USA CDL license that I am obtaining in the Bahamas, or am I obtaining a Bahamian license, or is this license transferable to other, right, usable in other jurisdictions? Do I have to go and take a preliminary test before they can endorse my license in that jurisdiction? These are all questions that actually do need to be answered.
Interesting.
Right. And then we could go to a break. As we go to the break, the last one is, will you actually grandfather in drivers, and what is that process? Anyway, you guys heard the music. We got to go to this break. Stay tuned. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green and Cecil Nuri this morning.
Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back. Join us on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center, where leading professionals will give you the hard facts on topics like
How to Be Rich 101, how your mental and emotional health impact financial health, and what I wish women knew about men.
And how to get their money. This free, life-changing event is for women and men. The seminar includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begins at 8 a.m. with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomenplus.com.
Unequal gender nationality law is a violation of human rights and a failure of the government to meet its obligations. In 2018, the CEDAW committee told the Bahamas to set a clear time frame, integrate the principle of gender equality into all laws, and to amend the Bahamas Nationality Act 1973 for Bahamian women and men to transmit citizenship on an equal basis. Join Equality Bahamas in demanding action now. Visit tiny.cc/nationality for more.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. With Aaron Green, and joining me today is Mr. Cecil Nuri. So I got a couple of texts, and then I'm going to pass it off to you. We're going to round out the show. I got a text that says, Good morning, I will not mention my company's name, but we have subsidized the cost of the certification and the driver's license. That is good for 3 years. It's good for 3 years. That's a great working environment to be in. And then they go on to say that the certification is driver-specific and not company-specific, right? So the driver, if they leave, they take that certification with them. Is if you have been terminated due to poor quality of work, bad driving or low driving culture or standards, is the company owner required to report that to the licensing authority, and does that record
follows you some sort?
Right, or is it only a traffic offense record that will impact your potential to get your license renewed?
Interesting.
You know,
so you say it should be a point system,
right? You know, and does that point system include complaints from the public? Does it require some documentation of events, right? Can somebody say, listen, we cannot penalize this person because they've gotten 15 complaints in 2 months, but surely we can open an investigation and we can begin to monitor or determine whether we should monitor this driver ourselves to determine whether a penalty should be attached, right, to the license.
Interesting.
Yes. So the company owner goes on. If the employee leaves before the license expires, they get to keep it. So we, driver and employer, have agreed that the balance that commensurates with the prorated amount for the 3 years that is outstanding will be reimbursed. So if you paid for me to get the license for 3 years and I leave after a year and a half, I will pay you, my employer, the year and a half, half of the fee, because I'm now an independent contractor and will not be working with you anymore. I think that's that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I think that's reasonable. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Texter, for sharing that information. I wanted to go through it because Texter sent me one really, really spiky text yesterday.
Okay.
So I wanted to delve into it because it's my pet. You know, driving culture is one of my concerns, and the setting the culture starts from the top.
Yes.
Commercial professional drivers set the standard, and the rest of us fall in line. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Nuri, what are we going to talk about when we see each other next?
We should see each other next Wednesday. Experiment with our two-hour thing.
So,
starting Wednesdays, we shall be sharing a spot where I will join you and you shall join me, and we see how that goes. I'm kind of excited about that, actually.
I just realized, I tell the people I want to be an ambassador to Mayor Gwana, listen, you all don't send me to Haiti.
You don't want to go to Haiti?
I'm not prepared.
What do you mean you're not prepared?
I ain't ready.
Everybody going to Haiti.
I mean, if push comes to shove, all us gonna have to go to Haiti. But I ain't prepared.
I'm sure you could be a defense force officer and go to Haiti.
I know about Karakin and Kabotlin. That's it. And Dashin. Away.
And these people have this big gun they're shooting and kidnapping people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I believe our defense force officers can handle it.
Yeah, because they're better than me.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if they know anything but urban warfare. That's a different type of shooting.
Yeah.
Where the person next to you, the little boy, the old woman who bent over could be the terrorist.
Yeah.
That's scary. And especially you go into a country you don't speak the language, that's the first language, and you're thinking that you're saving the old lady, not knowing that they setting you up. I'm not sure if
sympathy and empathy and kindness.
I'm not sure we're ready for that. And I think that discussion needs to be had on what exactly are we sending our officers to? Are they going to secure buildings? Is it going to be like a peace officer type of thing? You know, secure and protect? Or are they going into a gang war in general atmosphere? And are we ready and prepared to have casualties?
Yeah. You know, but we ain't ready for war.
You ain't ready for war?
No, and I say me, because I can speak for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think we are ready for war. And so when we ask the questions, like, well, what does this have to do with us?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they're right next door to
us. Yes, I understand that. I appreciate that.
And when war breaks out there, we're going to feel the effects of it.
Yes.
And the effects of it, right? I think I could say that. And so that we don't want. Secondarily, the proximity socially and ethnically, family-wise, we don't want war in Haiti at all, right? Because it impacts the lives of people living here.
Yes.
Third of all, we don't want war because war requires the involvement and intrusion of other states. And we can't control what happens in that country once that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so very often peacekeepers can become troublemakers.
Yes.
Particularly when the people don't look like them.
Mm-hmm.
We remember the stories coming out of the Ukraine, particularly from African migrants attempting to get out of Ukraine and the treatment that they were receiving, right? And so we don't want war because we don't want the Haitian people to have to suffer under those conditions.
Mm.
They're very, you know, many reasons separate from foreign policy why we don't want war.
But I asked you this before we go. Do you believe that we should send defense force officers to help?
It has to be a specially trained unit.
But they do have that, what they call them, MOPs in the defense force that are specially trained to go into the wilderness and jungle and fight and shoot. And prepared to not eat for days and whatever it is, hardship. They do hardship. So we have that here.
No, man.
Yeah, man, we have that.
Why they have the House of Assembly?
That's a different story altogether.
And they speak Creole.
And they speak Creole too in the bushes, yeah. Special ops does that.
Once we're not sending our soldiers into a situation that they couldn't even prepare for, right? Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Don't send them into a suicide mission.
And that's what I'm concerned with. Yeah. I'm concerned for, because these people kidnapping people. And we see videos with people's hair getting chopped off and butchered.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if the Bahamian public can stand that happening to any of its citizens. That will cause an international fallout, a national fallout. Right? Yeah.
Don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we can't stand it happening to anybody.
No, I trust that. I talk about Bahamians. I just talk about, if you send our men over there and anything happens, definitely the government would be held responsible. There would be an outrage and an old cry. Yeah. So I want to know exactly what we, and mind you, this is just a preamble in terms of what we're sending them out for, and we don't know as yet. So I definitely think it's going to be a peacekeeping type thing and not necessarily a war type thing we send them for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But whatever we send them for, we know they're going to represent the Bahamian people and the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, yes. The highest standard.
Yes.
This we know.
Yes.
Anyway, Mr. Newry, thank you for joining me today. I will send in a petition for your ambassadorship, and yes, I expect please. You to do the same.
I will do the same for you.
But not for Andres. That one is for the caller.
I understand.
Thank you, audience and texters, for tuning in, and thank you for that last text.